Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing. That hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound.
Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I'm not cheap. I'm careful.
No, you're cheap. You're very cheap.
Cheap. Look at that rock on your hand. That thing must have cost $600-$700. All right. So we've got a crazy show today. There's no food.
No, it's I'm not cheap, but you are cheap.
Okay, thank you.
I like expensive things.
Do we
you
have
like
to air
inexpensive
our
things.
Dirty laundry right
it's
not here.
Dirty, it's just a fact.
It's just it's old laundry. Okay.
It just is what it is.
20 years of fun. All right, so.
Not 20 yet, honey.
It almost is.
We haven't been married for 20
We've
years.
We've been together 20 years as of
almost.
June 13th.
Almost.
The day she met me, she knew that I was the one. It was crazy.
Anyway. My arm is still broken.
All right, so. As I was saying, this is one of those shows where we're going liquid. There's not a thing to eat, and we've got more
except for bagels,
more potables here than you. Yeah, we've got Georgetown Bagelry bagels here, but let's just run through it. Jack Rose proprietor Bill Thomas is in. If you guys know Jack Rose down in Adams Morgan, it's that cool building on the left as you head toward down 18th Street. It's a beautiful building, and they've got a beautiful bunch of whiskey there. Bill started the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society private label collection.
And no, he did not.
You didn't start the...
No.
All right, already. We're going to be talking about that, all right?
Okay.
Jeez Louise, I'm only married to one of you. All right. But I will say that I did take a sip of one of these whiskeys because we've got them all in front of us, and my left arm has stopped working, so they're good.
Good for you.
All right,
and the Capital Wine Festival is back. It's back in D.C., and it's back here in Foodie and the Beast. And in again to join us is Stephen Johnston. He is the GM at the Fairfax at Embassy Row. And we got a new winery in with us today. Calling in will be Donald Patz of Patz and Hall Wines. They're going to be in later this week pouring their wines at a wine dinner. Correct.
All right. So every year the Artini event raises funds, desperately needed funds, to support the activities at the Corcoran Art Gallery. It's called The Art of the Martini. It's a fundraiser for the Corcoran and Lindley Thornburg, who is the perennial chair of the event, and Joe Ambrose from POV Lounger in to help us drink in all the information about the event.
And we're going to find out what inspired this drink.
Did you see that drink in all the information? Never mind.
I got it. Okay. I got it.
And
okay,
and we're also going to be talking Cointreau.
We're going to be talking a lot about Cointreau. Dwayne, can we get you over to the mic?
Dwayne's at the mic.
Dwayne is at the... Oh, he's got a good, booming radio voice. I love it. All right, Dwayne. So Dwayne is just back off of a flight
from Chicago.
Dwayne Sylvester. Just got off the plane from Chicago this morning, but he is joining us. Are you the brand ambassador for Cointreau locally?
I am the brand educator. They have a brand advocate.
Okay, I love that.
So, not so much an ambassador. You know, we don't do many sales. We're just to spread the awareness and education and information about Cointreau and how it can be used in cocktails and in every bar, home, program, where it belongs.
All right. So,
well, let's start from the beginning. I mean, for people who don't know what Cointreau is, what is Cointreau?
I mean, Cointreau is more commonly known as triple sec. It is the original French triple sec, over 160 years of history, starting in Angers, France. Mm-hmm. That's my French accent.
It's very good.
And, you know, it's crystal clear, the lowest in sugar of all the orange liqueurs by volume.
Mm-hmm.
And 40% alcohol by volume, which is important when we're talking about those flavors coming through. It's not the cheapest orange liqueur you're going to be able to find, but there's a reason that we use it because it is the best.
Okay.
So wait a minute. So what's a triple sec?
Triple sec. So orange liqueur. There's many different schools of thought that will tell you that triple, it means three, and then orange. So some people will tell you it's going to be different types of orange. Sec means dry. So three times is dry. But the original intent, because they were common words, they couldn't copyright it. They couldn't say we are triple sec and no one else can make triple sec. So what happened was everyone began making this triple sec. So then they changed their name to, so it used to be triple sec big on the bottle and Cointreau very small, liqueur d'orange de Angers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started making the Cointreau bigger so they would know that you were getting Cointreau brand triple sec as opposed to just any generic triple sec.
Mon Dieu, mon ami.
So what is in Cointreau? I mean, what?
Cointreau. Grain alcohol,
okay,
sugar, and then bitter and sweet orange oils from peels and water. It's very basic, very pure, very clean.
Interesting.
Now people know.
And
now,
so how often are you using a Cointreau? I mean, clearly today we're making all cocktails that are containing Cointreau.
I put it on my eggs. Cointreau, triple sec is a very common sweetener in cocktails. The margarita, the U.S. most popular cocktail.
Apparently over 600 million are drunk a year. I found that out yesterday because Friday
because
was...
Because 599,999 were made at our house.
No. I'm not a big margarita drinker. But no, Friday was National Margarita Day.
Right.
And I did a thing on it and over 600 million margaritas
only
are had a year.
You would know that. So I got a question. What are you mixing up first?
Well, first we're going to do another common classic cocktail. The Cosmopolitan, which is going to be made today with a little Grey Goose vodka, Cointreau, fresh lime, and cranberry juice.
That's ice, everyone. All right, well, while you're doing that, I think they can hear us. Let's talk to Bill Thomas and find out more about Jack Rose. So why don't we start from the start? Where did you come from and where did the place come from?
Well, I came from PG County. But
we won't hold that against you.
No, but I've lived in D.C. for...
Yeah.
I've lived here quite some time, but my family actually opened up their first restaurant bar here in the late 1800s.
Really?
So we've been around for quite some time.
What was it?
The one that still exists is where Tunnycliffe's is on Capitol Hill. So we had a restaurant there around the turn of the century.
That's
called Rock's
cool.
Bar and Grill.
That is very cool.
Yeah. But my family made the mistake of selling that building and property and back in the 1950s.
Well, damn families, I'll tell you, man.
If they've been around that long, you're lucky they didn't get mixed up with John Wilkes Booth.
You know, that's where the city I grew up, Clinton.
Yeah.
I would play there on my saxophone on Christmas for people that pass through the old Surratt House.
That is wild.
That's cool, yeah.
All right, so let's move forward to today. Tell us a little bit about the process in opening up Jack Rose.
Well, what we were looking for is a space where we could house the largest whiskey collection in North America.
A small goal.
Yeah,
right?
It was a very lofty goal, but we did actually make it, and it was a combined effort of a lot of us that are real whiskey enthusiasts came together and scoured every part of the U.S., finding every importer, distributor to put the collection together. And we've specialized in all whiskeys, so it's an international. It's just not Scotch. It's not American, but also Irish and Austrian and Welsh. En route from India. There's so many great single malts out there and other types of whiskey that you can come in and try all of them.
Well, let's talk about, for people who don't know a lot about whiskey and Scotch and single malts, can you just give us a quick little what all that means?
Sure. I mean, everything, whether it's Irish or say bourbon or Scotch, single malts, these are all from the whiskey family.
Okay.
It's just what the grains and how they're combined to make them different. For single malts, you're talking about just single malt, malted barley.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the bulk of what we're here to talk about today, is just malted barley, which is from specifically the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society.
Okay.
which are all cash strength whiskeys. Mm-hmm. And that is something we like, whether it be American or Irish or Scotch, just straight from the barrel right to the bottle at whatever the proof is and whatever the flavor profiles are. So what you have is a group of individuals who will taste individual bottlings or barrels mm-hmm. and decide that these are absolutely exceptional on their own. And then bottle it down.
Well, let's back up a little bit because sure. this Scotch Malt Whiskey Society is a private membership society.
It is.
And you have to join and then you get to have access
correct.
To these kinds of bottles. But now you have some of these bottles at Jack Rose.
Absolutely. Well, one of the great things about Jack Rose that getting access to these great cash strength whiskeys is a feat. And the fact that the society has gone out recently and decided that they're going to allow people to try them on more of a retail level, we were chosen as a what they call a society spot. And that means you'll be able to come in and actually buy a dram of any one of these whiskeys mm-hmm. and try them before you actually can purchase them through the society.
Oh, okay.
So it's a one-of-a-kind kind of thing where just the access to these whiskeys is, for me, a huge boon to our success at Jack Rose.
Now, do you find that a lot of your customers know about this society?
No, they don't.
Sarah's shaking
her
head. She's like, they don't.
Not yet.
Okay.
But we're hopefully going to educate them. But really, for us, it's strictly about what's in that bottle. And these whiskeys are so well chosen by the society mm-hmm. that I, quite honestly, love having access to another 76
All right,
whiskeys.
Well, let's sip one because then I have
sure.
a question for you.
All right, well, so let's first of all talk about what we're looking for in a whiskey.
Well, what you're going to see when you come to Jack Rose, when you find these distinct green bottles, mm-hmm. is the fact that they're labeled Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. They're mm-hmm. labeled with a number designation, which is the distillery. And then underneath, what's great about these whiskeys is this particular one that you're trying now is from Glengoyne Distillery.
Okay.
And it's described as glazed Thai ham with lime leaves. So they give
Sounds very appetizing.
They give you this great description on the front of the bottle, which we also put on our menu.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads you. I mean, if you like the sound of glazed Thai ham with lime leaves, you're going to love this whiskey.
Okay.
And then it has a Glengoyne, which is generally a non-peated whiskey.
Right, what is that? Wait. What does that mean?
No. I want to get in here, and I have a question
Why?
For you. Because I can't get in otherwise.
Oh, sorry.
You're talking so much.
Well,
here's my question.
Sure.
For people who are not whiskey drinkers, whiskey is very intimidating in the sense that, you know, you see the old cowboy movies and they sidle up to the bar and they shoot it down and don't even blink. I just took a sip of this and my toes are still moving.
Okay.
So, I mean, how do people...
I can't believe you just laughed at that, Andy.
God bless you, Andy. How do people acclimate themselves to whiskey? You can't just come in and start shooting it down. And I just saw Stephen Johnston, who's the GM at the Fairfax Embassy Row, take a nice tug on that thing and not, he didn't twitch or anything. And I, you know, I'm not a whiskey drinker and it affects me that way. So how do they do it?
Well, I mean, the first thing, when you walk in the door to Jack Rose, I'm going to ask you a series of questions to kind of find out where you are in your single malt knowledge. And if you say that generally your, you know, first experience or haven't drank much, or I've had some of the great staples like a Macallan 12 or a Highland Park, I'm probably going to start you out on something that's probably a diluted scotch, which is something that's already been lowered in proof. So it's a little bit more, say, palatable right off the bat.
So water has already been added to it as opposed to you adding water yourself?
Correct.
Okay.
Eventually, I'm going to move you in to a cash strength whiskey, and we're going to give you a small little eyedropper that has distilled water,
mm-hmm.
filtered water. And you,
use that?
And we'll, mm-hmm. we'll add this water in to bring down the alcohol content to your palate. We always suggest you try the whiskey first, and then add water as needed to bring it down to whatever your palatable level is.
Okay. So now with the whiskey you just poured,
mm-hmm.
I added water to it because it's a strong whiskey. Now, are you adding water to it or are you like, no, I can handle it?
No, I absolutely think it's just a really well-balanced whiskey. There's not these, with a lot of these whiskeys, every once in a while you find some sharp spikes or heat
mm-hmm.
or maybe even a heat on the finish. This particular one I found really well-balanced. I didn't feel the need to add water. But then again, I drink.
You drink half a lot of whiskey.
I don't say every day, but
okay,
I drink quite a bit.
We get it.
Well, it makes sense if you're not a whiskey drinker, but you're curious about it. Actually, our oldest son has gotten into it. Fortunately, not too much into
right.
it, but and has acquired a real taste for it. But if you want,
I'll give him all the information on the society. He's going to join.
Deal. For if you're one of those people who'd like to try it, Jack Rose is obviously the place to go because there's an educational process. You're not just sidling up to the bar and taking your best shot.
No, and what I love about what we're doing at Jack Rose is the fact that we're not asking you to come in and drink quantity. We want you to come in and drink quality. And that and Joey that's coming on next and Dwayne will tell you that, you know, we want you to drink good cocktails and good whiskeys and quality. Enjoy it.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to taste some more of these terrific whiskeys. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Lawrence Hoffman, CPA and forensic accounting expert at RAFA PC. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia. If you want to know more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to Bill Thomas, who is the proprietor of Jack Rose, the largest, now I want to say it right, you have the largest stock of whiskeys?
In North America.
In North America, including Canada?
Including
Canada.
What
about Mexico?
Probably. You know what? Unless someone's out there that we don't know about, as far as we know, yes.
All right, if you're in Mexico listening and you know something bigger, call in quick.
It's pretty cool. I think that's really, really cool. So let's just go back. We talked about off air. You had mentioned peat.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
how that is used in making whiskey. Can you just give us a little education on that?
Well, you're using peat fires, which is to stop the steeping of the malted barley. Mm-hmm. So you get that peat rising up and drying out that barley. So you get that smoky, peaty quality, which will be the third whiskey we're going to try today.
Okay.
It's from Isla. Mm-hmm. It's from Bowmore Distillery. And it has some of that quality that we're talking about. The particular one we just tried, the first one, is non-peat fired.
Okay.
It's shred out with just smoke and other not peat fires. So it has a bit of the smokiness, but not the peatiness.
Now tell us about the second one that we're drinking.
The second one we're going to have is a Macallan.
It smells delicious.
And that's really good. And the great thing, one of the reasons I chose this one is because Macallan is obviously one of the best known single malts.
Right.
So I wanted to choose something that people were familiar with. This one is described as, or labeled, mm-hmm, baked bananas and pear crumble. And I do think you get more of the pear on the nose and a little bit more of the banana on the finish on the palate.
I find this one not nearly as, this is an easier drinking one to me. It's not nearly as strong.
Well, this is what's great. I mean, you're trying whiskeys that are that for you, which is
right.
Great. There's 80 working distilleries, up to 100 in Scotland at any one time that are functioning. And it's trying those distilleries and figuring out which ones and what flavor profiles fit your palate.
Well, Sarah's laughing at me because I took it. I'm not a whiskey drinker. I mean, I'm not.
He's not a booze drinker.
I'm not a regular booze drinker.
I mean, you
drinker.
Can't tell that by looking at all the booze in studio today. But.
there are nights when we have a number of whiskeys around the house where, you know, it's 11 o'clock and I'm watching TV and I'll pour some and sip it. And what I have found is the more you sip,
absolutely,
the more acclimated you get to it. And I like it when I get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think with anything you develop a palate, you have to educate your palate, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's no different, and we'll talk about wine later. I mean, I think when people start drinking wine, they have to start light and right. easy in order to educate their palate on the stronger, bigger flavors.
So do you do tastings in classes?
We're starting, we just finished off a basement space at Jack Rose, which we're going to be using for a series of free 101 classes.
Great.
So you'll be able to go to our website, sign up for the 101 class, and we will just teach you about scotch and bourbon and Canadian whiskey. And we're also bringing other people that are more knowledgeable than us on cognacs and Armagnacs.
Well, we should tell everybody what a deal that is, because these whiskeys we're tasting now run from $20 to $60 a pour, am I right?
Yeah, you're looking at, there's nothing less than $34 a pour.
So
today.
Don't be stupid, get wow. down there and take the 101
so
class.
So now that the society, you have some of, how many society bottles do you have?
We currently right now have 76, which is, as far as I know, the largest society grouping in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we believe so strongly in these great cash strength whiskeys. A lot of places are society, there's four society spots in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next largest is about 18 bottles. Not only do we carry the 76, we'll have more coming in soon, and I have a standing order of 6 bottles of every single one they ever produce.
Amazing.
So we just want to cover everything, because obviously if you want to be the largest and the best, you have to carry the best.
So why not apply to the Guinness Book of World Records?
It's been proposed.
It has been sure.
We don't need it. Wait, I mean, maybe we will.
It would be cool.
Wait, people forget that we've only been opened a year and a half.
Okay, so we're going to have to wrap up. So let's quickly
uh-oh.
Taste this
sorry,
last one.
Sarah.
Okay.
Sorry, Sarah.
No,
I cut you off.
You're out,
but
baby.
Do you want to pour this last one?
Oh, yep,
okay,
sure.
We're going to pour the last one, which is from Bowmore Distillery. A lot of listeners might know Bowmore.
Mm-hmm.
This one has the probably most unusual name. It's Burning Heather,
okay.
charcoal, and gunpowder.
Sounds like a movie, Burning
yes.
Heather.
Ooh, it's got a...
You've got the floral, the kind of heathery nose,
mm-hmm.
but you will get that charcoal, which is from the oak, from the wood, from the barrels that they use, and the gunpowder on the finish.
I like smelling them next to each other.
Absolutely.
I like smelling the differences
so
between
them. So if
you
drink this and then smoke, will you explode?
No? You, this one, at its proof, this is pretty high. We're looking at 116 even.
Oh, my God. Give me the dropper, please. I need the dropper.
This is what the IRA lights and throws.
All right. Bill, tell everybody where they can find Jack Rose, please, or Sarah, one of you.
Oh, go ahead. So, corner of 18th and Florida, right at the bottom of Adams Morgan.
You gotta get your face
with
up
their
there.
Real, please, real, please, gorgeous, gorgeous patio.
I bet Sarah sounds better, I'm sure, on the radio.
You can find us at the corner of 18th and Florida, right at the bottom of Adams Morgan. We're open every single day at 5 p.m. for your drinking pleasure.
She looks better on the radio.
and the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, you can go to scotchmaltwhiskeysociety.com.
Yeah, there you go.
And jackrosedc.com.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you,
cool.
guys. Thank
Thanks,
you so
guys.
Much.
Thank
that
you.
Was
thank
a
you.
Really... A really good education.
All
this
right,
morning.
Dwayne, just for a change, let's talk about something we're going to drink.
Let's go with the Cointreau.
I'm still drinking whiskey. Next drink we're going to make for you is going to be another classic sidecar. I wanted to start with the classics and the popular because Cointreau really is at the heart of all the cocktails, classic cocktails. You'll find Cointreau in the sidecar, which we're going to make right now, Cosmo White Lady. And you're really just talking about changing one ingredient.
Are people still ordering the Cosmo? Did it sort of
Cosmo
top
was,
out?
Cosmo topped out.
Joe is like, yes, they are.
Two years ago.
Right.
But, well, you'll see in bars like Joe's Bar.
That's easy for you to
or
say.
Or my bar. I can say it again. With fresh ingredients, all of a sudden, something that became blasé and really commonplace
overdone.
Has come back. And you can serve a Cosmo to someone and don't tell them what it is. And they're like, wow, this is fresh, balanced, crisp, and delicious, which is what a cocktail is supposed to be.
Well, so, I think that's what happened with the Cosmo. It just became really unbalanced. And, you know, it just became sticky and sweet and not
yeah, it was Sex and the City, so it became popular. So everyone made it without necessarily knowing how to make it, you
right.
know.
Okay, so tell us what you're making next.
So now you'll see a pattern here. We first one was vodka, Cointreau, and citrus. Now mm-hmm. we're switching to cognac. We're using Remy Martin VSOP.
Mm-hmm.
Our citrus has switched to lemon instead of lime,
okay.
and we're still using the Cointreau, orange liqueur d'orange d'Angers.
Love it. All right, well, while you're doing that...
Stop showing off.
Steven, we're going to bring you everybody over to the
everybody knows
mic.
You speak French, Dwayne. All right, so the Capital Wine Festival has become an unbelievable annual event. It's a two-month... It's got a two-month span. It is hosted, and I think you guys actually invented, didn't you, the Capital Wine Festival... at the Hotel Fairfax at Embassy Row. Am I correct?
That's right. Well, almost. Chef Daniel Bruce, who's a colleague of ours up in Boston, he's the executive chef at the Boston Harbor Hotel.
Right.
That's right. 24 years they've been doing that. So he came up with the whole concept, and he's been doing that very, very successfully. And brilliantly, I have to say, because there isn't too much going on in Boston in January and February every year. It's kind of cold.
Snowstorms.
Except snowstorms.
Storm of the century every
year. Yeah, so he came up with this idea, and he's just, it's grown and grown and grown. And in fact, he does it very extensively. He does about 40 dinners over 8 weeks.
So well, that's really the key. You do these incredible wine dinners where one particular resource provides all the wines. And that's why Donald Patz of Patz and Hall Wines is on the phone. Are you there, Donald?
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm sorry you're not in studio with us. We have a lot of good taste going on this morning.
Well, you know, it can't be everywhere at the same time.
No,
I'd love to be there and tasting them with you.
I'll tell you what, I'll pour some whiskey into the microphone. We'll see what happens.
We do have some of his
part.
Wine.
That sounded like fun.
It was.
We've got some of your wine, so that's good too. So, Stephen, so you connect with your different, you know, premier resources to co-host these wine dinners. The Patz and Hall dinner is coming up in couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, the week after this, actually, March 9th, I believe. So Donald will be joining us.
Why don't we talk about...
Let's talk to Donald for a second. Donald, tell us a little bit about your winery, where you are, and about your wines.
Well, we are based out of the town of Sonoma. My office is actually in Napa, but the winery is in Sonoma. We focus only on Chardonnay and Pinot Noir grapes, but we make a number of versions of each one of them. And each one is different by virtue of where the grapes come from. So they have each one has a unique vineyard signature as part of the aromas and flavors.
Mm-hmm. Now, Donald, do you advise following a shot of whiskey with your wines? Because that's what's happening here.
And a Cosmo. And
I already have a headache.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the winery.
Sure. Well, we started in 1988 making only Chardonnay, and then added Pinot Noir in 1995. James Hall and I met when we both worked at Flora Springs Winery back in the mid-80s. He was the assistant winemaker, and I had just been hired to do marketing and sales. We started this little winery with our significant others. And at the beginning,
when you say little, how little is this winery?
At the beginning, it was tiny. I mean, you know, we did 500 cases that first vintage, and everybody did everything. So we were all out there in the vineyards, and then we were all at the winery and helping, press the grapes and put the wines into barrel and stir the lees and do all the other things that you do in order to try to make great Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. And so talk about your Chardonnay, because I think, you know, California has good news about Chardonnay and bad news about Chardonnay. So talk about the kind of Chardonnay you were trying to produce.
Well, initially, you know, we're looking for something that I think used very traditional Burgundian techniques to create a California Chardonnay that was, not totally new to California. Other people had done it too, but just wasn't done all that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking for, since we didn't own these vineyards ourselves, what I talk about as being sort of the opposite of an estate winery or the anti-estate winery. What we've done is we've said these techniques, barrel fermentation, surly aging, malolactic, not to get too technical, for us, most make the most interesting Chardonnays when you see them used properly around the world. So let's find grapes that match that style of winemaking rather than tailor our style of winemaking to grapes from vines we already own. And so we've been on a 25-year search for what we think are the most interesting and diverse vineyards that we can find in California, and working with some of the best and most prestigious growers. I mean, we have a murderer's row with the Duttons, the Hydes, the Martinellis, among others. Gary Pizzoni. These guys are at the top of their game, and it's wonderful to be able to work with them.
Well, I have to say, I don't like big buttery Chardonnays at all, which a lot of, as I'm sure you know, California does do a lot of. And this is so clean.
It's got a nice woody flavor.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. It's a really beautiful Chardonnay.
Yeah, we're certainly looking for richness and complexity and density and ripeness and all of those things. But because we get to choose where these grapes come from, we don't own the vineyards. We can look for the right spots. We're also getting grapes from sources with great underlying acidity that brings that freshness and cleanses the palate with each sip. And I think that the wines have I think balance is overused. So the word I like to use is harmony. when all of the different components of wine are in perfect harmony, it never seems heavy or cloying. It never seems squeaky, tart. They all just seem, it seems to be just such a nice whole and so drinkable, and also matches so well with food.
All right, well, you know what, Donald? We have to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to talk to you about the meal that's coming up on the 5th.
Well, and I absolutely want to talk about the Pinot Noir as well. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, but of course.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
Okay, we're back on Foodie and the Beast. David and Nikki Nellis. We've got Stephen Johnson, who's the GM of the Fairfax Hotel at Embassy Row, in with us. Mm-hmm. And Donald Patz on the phone from Patz and Hall Wines. And Donald, one of the things that always interests me is that it's one thing to create a wine, when I say in a void, in and of itself, but then when you've got to pair it with different foods to bring out the best of both, that's another creative challenge. So how did you guys go about figuring out, since you're out in Sonoma, anytime you want me to come out, just let me know. But you're out in Sonoma.
With your wife, I hope.
No, I'm going to bring my girlfriend.
It's you can do that.
All right.
Well, then I'll be home alone. More fun for me.
but how do you guys go about kind of doing this long distance? Because you're not able to really sort of taste what the chef has in mind. And
It is a challenge. But, mostly I think what we do is count on the experience of the culinary team. And, of course, we're interested in what they're going to do. But they're the ones who are going to perform it, so we're listening to them to see what they think is going to go well.
Well, and so are you bringing wines from different vintage? I mean, how many wines are you bringing for this dinner?
Six different wines.
Okay. Are you okay?
I tried to breathe, talk, and swallow at the same time.
That's what happens. And so how do you select the wines, or do you let the chef select the wines?
We choose the wines, of course. Some of them are current releases that are going to be available for people to buy afterwards if they want to. But I love digging back in to our cellar for especially events like this to pull out something that may be the last time we ever drink it in public. I mean, it's part of the fun of it to be able to come to one of these dinners and get something really extraordinary.
Well, so can we talk about the Pinot Noir now? Are we allowed to talk about the Pinot Noir
now? I will
now?
Allow you to discuss
Thank you.
The Pinot Noir.
All right, so let's talk about the Pinot Noir that you're creating. Can you tell us about it?
I have three different, and they didn't actually tell me which one.
Which one are we pouring, Stephen?
Yeah, I have them in front of us. So with our middle course, we're going to pour the 2011 Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir.
Great. So that's actually a blend. That's not a single vineyard site. That's 15 different vineyards kind of scattered all over the Sonoma Coast. And what we're looking for is, again, vineyard sites, they're going to cooperate together to make a more interesting wine. Mm-hmm. But all of this is made using essentially the same set of techniques. We bring in the vineyard separately, then put the blend together usually around the 1st of December or so, and then allow it to age in barrel. The 2011 was a really challenging year. We had 2 weeks to pick everything. All the Chardonnay and all of the Pinot Noir came in less than 2 weeks. And then rains hit and things got crazy. So it's a really interesting year, very perfumey, more delicate than some of the vintages we've had recently. I think it'll go really well with, you know, with pretty much whatever you want to pair it with. Because, again, it goes back to the acidity and the complexity of the wine.
Well, can I ask a question about, don't roll your eyes, about single vineyard versus not? Do you find that more people are looking for wines that are single vineyard? I mean, it seems to be a big buzz term in the wine world right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, without criticizing anybody else.
No judgment. No judgment. I asked an opinion.
I think there's a lot to be said for single vineyard wines. Mm-hmm. They, when done properly, they do have something unique to give. But if it's just a marketing trick in order to sell some small bit of your wine at a higher price, and it's not really significantly different from the rest of the wines you're making, why are you doing that? So that's the question that we've always. So we look for sites that, you know, really have either a long reputation of producing wines that are unique and extraordinary, or ones that we believe strongly have something to say different from the rest of the wines that we make. And at this point, you really have to bring something to the table to essentially knock out one of the wines that we're making. There's a limit to the number of single vineyard wines anybody can reasonably expect us to do.
Of course.
So a new vineyard would really have to be extraordinary, and one that would displace something we're currently doing. But I think that single vineyard wines are wonderful, and mm-hmm. I really love the fact that they're a sort of they're distinctive and unique, and kind of like humans are. Sometimes it's not always pretty, but there's something so.
Oh, you just described marriage.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
Bill,
Donald,
I've got to jump in. We've only got a couple seconds left, so
Stephen,
let's make sure. I know Stephen's name. Back down, baby.
Okay.
Stephen, give us the who, what, when, where, why, because if people want to attend this dinner, they need to know how to get their
Absolutely.
Tickets.
Well, they do. We're about halfway through the festival at the moment. We have, I think, 4 more dinners left, and Donald will be joining us on Tuesday, March 5th. It's every Tuesday. We kick off at 6:30, sit down at 7 o'clock. We'll be pouring 6 of Donald's wines, a couple of Chardonnays, a sparkling wine to start, and then we move into the Pinots, and we do get into some of these fabulous Pinots. We have his Pisoni Vineyard and the Hyde Vineyard as well, Carneros, which we're pairing up with our main course. So capitalwinefestival.com is where you can get tickets. We still do have tickets available. And we're looking forward to meeting Donald. They're a lovely event. The winemaker comes, speaks through the middle of each course, and it's a very educational and entertaining evening.
Awesome.
Excellent.
All right,
well,
guys,
Donald,
thank you both.
Thanks so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All right,
okay,
we're going
Stephen.
Back to Dwayne Sylvester. Dwayne, I just want to point out that you gave me, I had a little plastic cup with a taste of this drink, and you gave my wife.
No, because I'm taking pictures.
A beautiful glass with little cutouts from orange peels with stars and stuff. What up with that?
She looks better than you on the radio.
Aww. Flattery gets you everywhere.
You don't know. I'm the power behind the throne.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this
I think
this
everybody
drink.
In this studio believes that.
They do. Not everyone, damn
All
it.
Right. All what right. What are we doing next there, Dwayne?
We've been doing classics. I wanted to do one of my own for you here. This is a, we call it 47 degrees north. That's where, when we went to, that's the parallel that Angers sits on in France. Angers. Mm-hmm. This is a Cointreau-based cocktail, and we talked about Cointreau being 40% alcohol. So I'm using Cointreau as the spirit.
Okay.
Also using a little bit of cassis. I'm going to balance it out with fresh lime juice and Angostura bitters. If you didn't know, I'm from Trinidad, so I try to put Angostura in as much things as I possibly can.
What happened to your accent?
Let my wife call. You'll hear it.
All right. Well, while you're pouring that, let's get into the annual Artini. It happens every year, and we've been lucky enough to have the people from the Corcoran come in and talk about this art-inspired event this year. Lindley Thornburg is back with us to tell us all about it. Lindley, dig in.
Now, you're the chair, right?
Yes.
Would you
second
like
year
the
running.
Table, the lamp, anything?
No,
just the chair. Okay. All right. You can be that.
So, yeah, so Artini is Friday, March 22nd at 8:30 to midnight at the Corcoran Gallery of Art. This year we've tapped 8 of the city's leading mixologists from various restaurants around town, including Joe from POV.
You mean the famous Joe Ambrose? The one who was up till 4 o'clock in the morning partying? Yeah. That Joe Ambrose?
I think he was working.
You did not partying.
He was definitely working.
We had to put a broom handle down the back of his shirt to keep him upright.
Aww,
because,
poor Joe.
He's exhausted.
We don't even know him that well.
He's exhausted.
Okay. So what we do is we ask them to come to the Corcoran and they look at our permanent collection and they kind of get their juices flowing and see what inspires them. It could be an oil painting. It could be a sculpture. And then they go back to the restaurant and they create a cocktail based off of a piece of art in our permanent collection.
Now, you also have food stations set up and all
these. Wait. You're jumping ahead.
Well, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are. That's for the event. And before the event, there are all these little pop-up events where people get to taste the drinks that are made.
We have what's called feature nights.
I know,
but I want people to understand the full event. We'll argue about this later.
So could we start from the beginning?
Absolutely.
So it starts March 1st, correct?
Actually, we're doing one on February 27th with
Dakaya.
Their izakaya is not yet open.
Right.
So instead of doing it at the restaurant, we're doing it at the Corcoran.
Okay.
So the first one is this coming Wednesday, the 27th at the Corcoran.
Mm-hmm.
That's their feature night. And then Friday, March 1st is our official kickoff with the Gibson. So that those feature nights start at 6 o'clock. They go to around 8:30.
But they're not always at the Corcoran. They're at the individual restaurants,
the only
correct?
One that's at the Corcoran is Wednesday, the 27th, with Dakaya.
Okay.
Everyone else is at the actual restaurant. And a percentage of the sales of the Artini cocktails throughout the month will go towards the Corcoran's fundraiser.
Okay, so people go to each of these events. Can you name all the bars participating?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We have Dakaya on the 27th.
And for those who don't know, Dakaya is the brand new restaurant by Katsuya, a ramen
and Daisuke
place. I know. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
So same owner as Sushi Co. Yama and Daisuke and Katsuya. It's great. So that's the 27th. Then we have Friday, March 1st at Gibson. And then we also have POV, Jack Rose, The Passenger, Ambar, Bandolero, and Zen 10.
Okay, wait. Jack Rose, just pop in for a second. Tell us when your event is.
Sure. Ours is Thursday the 14th. Amy Russell, one of our cocktail specialists, has created an awesome art-inspired drink. It's our second year in a row participating.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Good chance to come in, for
excellent,
sure.
Excellent. I love that. Okay, so, Joe. Yep.
Joe,
move
well,
your bot up to
you
the mic.
You were the critic's choice last year. You're Artini.
Yes, sir.
How does it work? You look at the artwork and just go, well?
Tell us how you got inspired.
You kind of just stare at it and figure out how you're supposed to make an alcoholic beverage look like the painting. And then, like, it gets a little deeper than that. You try to correlate, you know, what liquors you're using to, like, what region the painting may have been from. So, for instance, this time, you know, the one I'm doing is from France. So I'm using all French liquors.
So what did you pick a painting?
It's a Renoir.
Yeah, it's the view from Cap Martin of Monte Carlo.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it appeal to you?
I didn't really know much about Impressionism. It just was a really pretty painting.
Mm-hmm.
There's like no real defined lines.
What's your impression
of
Impressionism?
I just sit down and talk to a girl about it for 10 minutes and she
told me.
That's
not bad. Hey, baby, what do you think of Impressionism?
Yeah, she knew more about art than I obviously did. But that's just bold colors. I think there were short strokes in it. There's no like real defined lines.
Well, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
A little bit. I mean, it took probably an hour and a half
to figure it out.
You got
the right impression, that's for sure.
Yeah. Sounds like after drinking.
Yeah, seriously.
Now, here's the question. What's the girl's name?
Bold color, short strokes.
Whoa, Dwayne.
So that's kind of it. And then you go with the gut. Right?
Yeah. And you play around with that. I went a little overboard this time. Brought in some molecular stuff. And so I'm dealing with brandies, a pear brandy and an Armagnac and a... It's a little sweeter than I would normally do, but...
Yeah. Because why?
The brandies, I've got maple syrup in there because there's pear in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it a sugar bomb, but I did a dehydrated raspberry meringue. And then there's a lemon foam and a raspberry foam on top of it. So
this is
like
a guy
dessert.
That wants to win.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He seriously wants to win.
Okay,
we have
to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to be tasting this drink. Do we have a name for it?
First Impressions.
First Impressions. Very cute. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Union Market is the new year-round food market with over 40 vendors. It's D.C.'s new spot for local taste and style. Union Market is composed of the finest food artisans, all creating a unique culinary experience. Check out their $7 lunch specials and primetime libations, Union Market's Thursday and Friday happy hours. Union Market is on 5th Street Northeast, just off Florida Avenue, with lots of free parking. Also get there on Metro's Red Line to Noma Gallaudet. Union Market's open Wednesdays through Sundays. For hours or info, visit unionmarketdc.com.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And before we get back into the show, I just want to thank everybody that sponsors the show and makes it possible. If you're out there listening and you're not a sponsor, don't feel bad. You can still get on the bandwagon, baby. So I just list them off. Georgetown Bagelry, Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key. Our friends at the Two Founding Farmers and Farmer Fisher Baker down on the Georgetown Harbor. Union Market, God bless you, mates. Mm-hmm. All the Blacks restaurants, Post down at the Monaco Hotel, the Carpenter Shelter, where we're going to be doing a live remote on April, what, 28th, I think?
April 28th.
I think so, yeah.
And we're also doing a live remote with Early Mountain Vineyards.
Early Mountain Vineyards.
April 23rd.
April 23rd. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's a Saturday. We're going to be doing that and then recording it for broadcast the next day. But I really think that's going to be cool.
That's going to be great.
That's Steve Case's vineyard, so I may come back, you know, networked, connected. All right, let's get back to Lindley and Joe.
Or not.
David, who?
And I have to say, we are doing one other live remote, April 7th.
Where?
We're doing two more.
Oh, my God,
yeah. We're doing one at Edgar on April 7th, and then we are also
at the
National Harbor Food and Wine Festival.
Food and Wine Festival, yeah, my bad. That's going to be cool.
We only have 5 live remotes coming up for the next 3 months.
That's right. You can see me in the flesh, you lucky bums.
Not a lot of work at all.
So, Lindley, let's talk about the event itself.
The big event.
Hit it.
So the big event. So people can go to the various feature nights that are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings throughout the month of March. And then on Friday the 22nd at 8:30 to midnight, people can come to the Corcoran. And if they didn't have a chance to go to the restaurant during the month of March to try the Artini, now's your chance to try them all 8 one night. We have different ticket prices. So you can get a VIP ticket for $200. If you're an 1869 Society member, it's $169.
Mm-hmm. I looked at the lineup of stuff. It pays to get your
really
VIP.
It really does.
So what is the 1869 Society?
So 1869 Society, 1869 was the year the Corcoran was founded.
And the year Bill's first family tavern was founded.
And it's a young professionals group. The young professionals group ages 25 to 42. And we just involved in the Artini this year.
Wait, I just want to say something. You're too old to be a young professional.
Oh,
I love it.
So Artini this year, we're trying to raise money to sponsor a collection that's going to be unveiled this year at the Corcoran. So that costs about $70,000 to $80,000 to sponsor an exhibition. So that's where the funds are going towards this year if you come and buy a ticket to Artini.
Okay.
That's
and
cool.
Then at the event,
So is there a people's choice and then also
there's a people's choice and then there's a critics panel. So Joe won the critics panel last year, so he's the reigning champ. Mm-hmm.
Is that why he's wearing the tiara?
So we have a few. Washingtonian is our magazine sponsor, so a rep, one of the food writers from Washingtonian is going to be there. Our Corcoran curator, Sarah Newman, is going to be another critics panelist. Gina from Hank's Oyster Bar. We also have Svetlana from Brightest Young Things, and then Kelly McGarrix, who's a well-known cocktail wine writer, and then Ellen and Todd Gray, because they have the great Muse.
I never heard of them.
They own a few restaurants here in Washington. And then, so they own Muse at the Corcoran, which...
Terrific.
Yeah.
So people can walk around. Is there food available at the event?
There is food. We have it catered. And then the VIP guests will have access to a speakeasy, which is going to have its own private room. Hmm. And then they're upstairs. People can come and look at the different collections. And then there's going to be an open bar upstairs, too. So craft cocktails downstairs, open bar upstairs.
Sounds like fun. As an exhibitionist, I'm looking forward to seeing all the exhibits. I'll be relating to them heavily.
All right, so let people know. Joe, come back over.
Wait. We want a website first so people can buy their tickets.
So
just a minute.
www.corcoran.com/artini. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's where you can access all the information about the various feature nights and buy tickets.
Excellent.
All right, Joe, step up to that mic, son.
Okay, so are we done with this drink? There's a lot going on in this drink.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in it.
Are you exhausted?
I'm all right. I'm doing fine. Probably fall down outside the building.
He's ready to go home and watch the Redskins, except they're not on.
No, they're not.
That's all right. So are you hoping to win again this year? I mean, is that why you're doing all this? How much time did it take you?
Of course
you
he
to...
is.
Well, I don't know.
It's been taken.
What kind of competitor doesn't hope to win?
That's not true. Some people totally phone it in. You can see the difference. You know that.
Yeah, I definitely want to win.
What do you win other than the title?
The props.
Do you get anything?
Bragging rights, I guess.
Just bragging rights, okay.
Short-lived.
Wait, what's that, Lindley? $10 million? Awesome, dude.
Renoir.
All right, look, Bill Thomas is whipping up a martini right now.
No, there's hours behind it. I haven't had too much time or as much time as I'd like to have had in the last few weeks, but yeah. Probably got at least 20 hours into it.
Oh,
so
he's
far.
Hedging. He's hedging, folks.
Okay.
I'll put my money on Joe.
All right.
Winners always win.
Okay, and what is the date of the night at POV?
March 7th.
March 7th. So do you pay to get into that event? Or you just...
No, you just come.
Order the drink,
uh-huh. And then the proceeds from that drink will go towards our goal to raise about $70,000-$80,000.
Great.
All right, terrific. All right, let's give a website. Joe, let's taste that drink.
Right.
Are we good?
And I will say at the various feature nights, there'll be raffle prizes, so a lot of fun stuff.
Thank you. It's a beautiful drink.
God, it is beautiful.
It's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
no.
you, Joe. Mm-hmm. All right. While we're drinking, let's go back to Dwayne.
All right. Wait a minute. No. What? 1 second. That is delicious.
It is.
That is an awesome drink.
This is
what's it? What are you calling it? The new impressions?
Yeah, first impressions.
First impressions. This is awesome.
Ooh.
Joe. It's really pretty. It's beautiful.
Dwayne's getting competitive down there.
And it's not a sugar bomb. Because I don't really like sweet drinks.
I don't like sweet drinks either.
So.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
All right, fire away, bud.
That really is delicious. And right now we're going to do something that is a little bit less work because we want you guys to be able to make a Cointreau drink at home. So this one is basically going to be built like a highball. And it's called CLS or Cointreau Lime and Soda.
Okay.
You've got to have fresh lime juice,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to go at a ratio of 2-1,
mm-hmm.
and then fill your glass with ice and then top it up with soda. So 1 ounce of fresh lime juice, 2 ounces Cointreau liqueur,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to fill that up with club soda. Give it a gentle stir, and you'll tell me what you think about it. And for those that are a little bit more adventurous, this is very pedestrian, but you can muddle your own cucumber or strawberry or smack mint or do anything and put your own twist on this easy-to-go cocktail so that you buy a bottle of Cointreau. If your friends aren't coming over, you don't want to shake up anything of the intricacies that we've made here today.
Mm-hmm.
You can
that
add fresh
like
lime
good,
juice.